Please take your Bibles, and I would like you to put your fingers in two places in your Bible, Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 5. Matthew 4, Luke 5, keep your fingers there and then have your hand out handy as well. We've been doing a series concentrating on Jesus' words, and the title of this evening's message is Launch Out. Let's pray. Father, we would quieten our hearts before you. And as we've just prayed in song, speak, O Lord, speak your truth right into our lives and hearts. Speak to us that you might change us for your glory. Change us, Lord, and perhaps you have your hand on someone tonight in a special way. We pray it for the glory of the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. What do you think of when you hear the words launch out? Well, the words launch out, according to the dictionary, mean to start a new venture. There's an organization called Launch Out, and that organization helps people to start new businesses. There's a missions organization called Launch Out, and they particularly specialize in getting Christians involved in short-term missions for the first time. There are times in our lives where we simply need to launch out in our own lives. We've done the research, we've done all the prayers, we've talked to all kinds of people, and now it's time to make a decision. We have to take that step of faith or launch out. We may be intimidated to launch out at times if success seems far difficult, seems too difficult to achieve, or the task seems too daunting, or people are warning us against it. But the question is, does the Lord want us to launch out in this new venture or not? Especially for those big steps of faith, we need to know what God wants in our lives. We must realize that when it comes to Christian ministry, we are never to launch out on our own initiative. We're never to launch out on our own volition. There ought to be a call of God, there ought to be a command of God that the Spirit of God is impressing on our hearts. Now, as we've been going through this series, we've been walking in the dust of the rabbi in his first full year of ministry. He has returned from Passover in Jerusalem. He's gone back to his hometown of Nazareth and announced his messiahship. He has set up headquarters for his Galilean ministry in the town of Capernaum, and in particular in Peter's home, Peter's house. In Matthew 4, Mark 1, and in Luke 5, a day in the life of Jesus is described around the shores of the Lake of Galilee. And that day will help us understand God's call on our lives and when to launch out. Actually, there are two calls that may come to any Christian's life. And I just mentioned the first in parentheses to get this in context. If you are a Christian already, you have experienced the first call of God. There is a call to salvation. Matthew chapter 4, verse 13. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, life has dawned. And so there the darkness of the Babylonian conquest is compared to the light of Messiah coming to their region. Isaiah said, speaking of that time in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 1, nevertheless the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. So the regions around the Sea of Galilee suffered under Babylon as God's judgment fell on Israel. But where the judgment of God fell, the salvation of God came. Indeed, listen to what Jesus preached in Zebulun and Naphtali. Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. This is the light. The time is fulfilled. the kingdom of God is at hand, and repent and believe in the gospel. Whatever else Jesus preached, and we know much more of what Jesus preached, that was the heart of his message. Let's look at each phrase. The time is fulfilled. That is, the occasion has arrived. As God has orchestrated world history, for God is in control of world history, all the necessary elements had fallen into place for God to send his Son as the Savior of the world and for that Son to begin his ministry. Secondly, the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, the kingdom of God was at hand because the king was at hand. Jesus explained in Luke 17 and verse 21, "Indeed, the kingdom of God is within you." The king would rule in the heart of those people who came to him and trusted him as their savior. But of course, there would be a time in the future when Jesus would literally rule over planet Earth, that time of his literal earthly kingdom. Now, since the kingdom of God was at hand, it was possible for men and women, boys and girls, to come to Christ, to be part of the kingdom of God. How? And that's the third phrase, repent and believe the gospel. That's one key to enter the kingdom with two teeth. One key with two teeth opens the door of the kingdom. The two teeth are repentance and faith. And that key opens the way for salvation. Where there is saving faith, where there is genuine faith, there is always repentance. And where there is a full repentance, there will always be saving faith. Both are the gift of God, given in grace. That faith is God's gift by grace is stated by Ephesians 2 and verse 8, which says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." That faith is the gift of God. And that repentance is also granted by grace is stated by Acts 11 and verse 18. "When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, 'Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life.'" He grants faith, he grants repentance, and they always go together. Now, this whole sentence that we've read, verse 15, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel," that whole sentence in other places is termed a call to salvation. We read in Matthew 22 and verse 14, "For many are called," that's that call to salvation, "but few are chosen." In other words, thousands heard Jesus Christ preach, but few responded to the gospel. Those who responded had been specifically called. Romans 8 and verse 30 explains, "Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified." So if you're a Christian, and as far as I know, everyone here tonight, except perhaps some of the children, are a Christian. If you're a Christian, you have heard the call to salvation, right? And you've responded. You've been saved. This is the first call that we see in Jesus' Galilean ministry. Evangelist J. Edwin Orr said that the first word of the gospel is repentance. It's a turning away from sin and a turning to Christ. You know that. Salvation begins with repentance. There is a one-time act where I turn from my previous life and I turn to Christ. It involves a change of mind about sin, joined with that belief in Jesus. Yet repentance is more than a once-for-all act or decision of the heart. Martin Luther put it this way in the first of the 99 theses he nailed to the door of that Wittenberg church. He said, "When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, 'Repent,' he willed that the entire life of a believer be one of repentance." The entire life of a believer ought to be one of repentance. So it's an ongoing mindset towards sin. It's an ongoing choice. When I do wrong, I confess it. I get things right. I return to my Master. I reject the sin. Here's the point. The change of mind that is the heart of repentance should be a pattern of life. It should be a continuing thing in all of our lives. Because we're in Christ, we continue to see sin through Christ's eyes and we turn from it. So then, if you see a Christian, inverted commas, who's not living in faith and repentance, discernment, please. There may not be saving faith and repentance at all. In other words, if you don't see that ongoing faith and repentance, maybe there wasn't an initial faith and repentance. I would regard any person who calls themselves a Christian who is not walking with Christ, we must assume that they're not saved until we're sure that they are. We continue to pray for them, we continue to witness them until we see them repent. And that must be our entire ministry. A ministry that is communicating to the unsaved faith and repentance, and to those of us who are saved, a continuing faith and repentance. That's the whole gospel. Secondly, only some Christians experience the second call of God in this passage. Today, this evening, I want to concentrate on this second call of God. There is a call to service. This is a lifetime of service. This is full-time service. This is beyond what the normal Christian does. Just as a call to salvation comes through a command of God, repent and believe the gospel, the call to the ministry of the word of God comes by a command also. In fact, in the verses that follow, there are two commands that explain this call to service. Two different commands. And the first command that calls to service is launch out. When a man or woman responds to the call of salvation, there's going to be a radical change in their lives. And secondly, when a person responds to this call to serve full time the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be a radical change in their lifestyle. Crowds were coming to hear Jesus preach as he preached those words, repent and believe the gospel. Flip over to Luke chapter 5 now. We're going to stay in Luke 5 for the rest of the message. Luke 5 and verse 1. So it was as the multitudes were coming to hear him, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. That's the Sea of Galilee, Lake of Galilee. And saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. From this command, Peter's response, and the verses that follow, I want to make six comments about launch out. The first comment, the command is to get going. Jesus simply says, launch out, get going. When Jesus commands, we obey. Jesus had been teaching from that boat. Maybe they'd come back to shore. And Jesus now says to Peter, I want you to launch out into the deep. I want you to do something new. It was an object lesson that Peter would never, ever forget. He was to launch out. The call to full-time ministry comes as a command, and when it comes to a person, they know it. Peter knew that Jesus was speaking to him. And as a young Christian, I read of Paul's commission, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond. And as I read that verse, the thought came to my mind, that means you. I knew the Lord was speaking to me. The Lord was speaking to me, and I knew it. Now, I dare to say that no one else in this room tonight has read that same verse. I'm sure you've read the verse sometime. No one's read that verse with the Holy Spirit saying to you, that means you, to go to the regions beyond. But the Lord was speaking to me that day in my quiet time. The call to ministry comes as a command. And it must be obeyed. When the call comes, it's get going. Second comment about launch out. Obeying the call to the ministry of the word involves risk. Because Jesus said, launch out into the deep. In the shallows, you are relatively safe. But there is risk in launching out into the deep. Now, the deep, tehon in Hebrew, was a word that was translated the pit. In the Septuagint. And so in the minds of the people, like the disciples, the deep, that lake out there, was associated with the pit, with demons, and with the dead. Peter was a seasoned fisherman, but he respected the deep at best and was fearful of it at worst. Obeying the call to ministry involves risk from our point of view. But God is trustworthy. And if God tells us to go to the other side of the lake, he goes with us to the other side of the lake. So the risk amounts to our fear of the problems. Yet when the problems come, God is going to use those problems to shape us, according to James chapter 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So Jesus, if he tells us go to the other side of the lake or go to the other side of the world, he's going to go with us. And any problems he allows, he's going to use in our lives. Yes, there's risk, at least from our point of view, but we're safe in Christ. A third comment about launch out, obeying the call to serve is for the salvation of souls. Verse goes on to say, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now this is about catching men, of course. Men must be saved and discipled. According to Matthew 28 and verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So the command there is to go and make disciples. The other things are involved in that command. The call involves the ministry of the word and making of disciples. The call to the full-time ministry of the Word of God will be involved in saving and the sanctification of people. Fourth comment about the call, about the term launch out. The call, when it comes, may not make sense. Verse 5 says, but Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. You see, the fish come into the shallows at night, and that makes them relatively easy to catch with this cast net system that were used by the people around the Lake of Galilee. Normally, it would be useless to fish out in the deep during the day. Your chances of catching fish would be virtually none. It didn't make sense, but Peter was willing to obey. When Philip was told to leave a revival in Samaria and go to the desert, it didn't make sense. When Paul was sidelined from ministry in Tarsus for some 12 years, with all that waste of talent and giftedness, it didn't make sense. It didn't seem to make sense. We don't evaluate the call of a man or woman by whether it makes sense or not. We evaluate by whether the call came from God or not. Fifth comment about launch out. The call of God comes with the enabling of God. Let me repeat that. The call of God comes with the enabling of God. Verse 6. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Now this is a lovely promise for those who take a risk. The call of God comes with the enabling of God. It's a lovely promise to those, say, who have to go or are sent by the Lord to a Muslim country. But God's enabling doesn't always mean a smooth road. You may end up in jail. You may end up poisoned, as one of our fellow missionaries did. You may even die in your service, yet the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. He will enable you to do what he has called you to do. The call of the Lord comes with his enabling. He may not enable you to do everything that you dream about doing. God enabled Peter to catch fish even when it didn't make sense, even when he had to launch out into the deep. Now, church attendance in Australia is declining, but God has enabled this church to be established, to be constituted, and to grow. We can also have confidence here in this church that God will enable us to do everything that he has called us as a local church to do. We may not be able to do everything that we dream about doing, but He will enable us. With the call of God comes the enabling of God. What about you? Have you ever heard the voice of God call you to the ministry of the Word of God? As you've read the Scripture, you've heard the Lord say, "This means you." If you've ever heard His voice, have you obeyed? Now, as we saw this morning, if you are called of God, this church, your church here, will recognize that call upon your life too. Further, if you're called of God, you'll need training. Paul spent 40 years learning the Word of God before he began to preach the Word of God as a missionary. Tarsus was not wasted, after all, even though it didn't make sense at the time. Moses learnt both in Pharaoh's house and in the backside of the wilderness, 40 years in each. He was 80 years old when he began to lead the people of Israel. No doubt God is already training you in the school of hard knocks. Amen. They come to all of us. But if you are called to the ministry of the Word, if you're called to the ministry of the Word, you'll need to train in the Word to be able to handle the Word of God. Sixth comment on launch out. Obedience to the call of God comes with the blessing of God. Verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. Obedience to the call of God comes with the blessing of God. It was a grand miracle that none of us perhaps will ever see in our ministries. Remember, we're still talking about catching men. We may never see anything like this, but there is a special joy when we see God work through our ministry. When God does work through us, like He did through Peter, we're going to be humbled just as Peter was. We're going to feel unworthy of such blessing. And that's a good place to be. Yes, the hymn says, "I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean." But also, "I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could use me, a sinner condemned unclean." He loves us and He uses us. Indeed, Galatians 6:9 promises, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." And 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." There will be blessing. The call of God will come with the blessing of God. Just knowing for sure that I'm walking with the Lord Jesus Christ and pleasing Him is blessing enough. But there will be more. And it is possible, like Peter, that we will be astonished at what God will do, just making ourselves available for God to be used. The second command in this section that calls to service is follow me. The first was launch out. The second is follow me. As we've followed the scripture chronologically, we know that Peter and Andrew, James and John, first met Jesus way back there more than 8 months before in the ministry of John the Baptist, about the time that Jesus was baptized. Jesus' command to launch out in the deep was an object lesson that came their way and was preparing them for this command to follow Him. Sure, they needed to obey, but it was a picture of the command that was about to come, and it was a preparation for the command that was about to come. If we just follow in the book of Mark, if you start Mark chapter 1, verse 1, and you've only gone to verse 16, when it talks about Jesus' call to these fishermen. It sounds like the call comes out of the blue. But we know, as we've followed this chronologically, there's been much preparation of heart by the Lord Jesus in these people's lives. Firstly, they're called to salvation back with John the Baptist, and this object lesson given to them all because they filled both boats so that they were ready to sink, not just to Peter. So we read in Mark chapter 1 and verse 16. "And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon," and Andrew his brother, casting the net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I'll make you become fishers of men." And I think when they heard that, the object lesson really made sense to them. So we read in verse 18, "They immediately left their nets and followed him. And when he'd gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat, mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat and the hired servants and went after him." Now, all of us are to follow Jesus Christ in becoming like him in his character. But to some, Jesus says, follow me in the sense of ministering the word of God, being in full-time ministry like the Lord Jesus was. He calls such people to the ministry of the word and to preach those words, repent and believe the gospel. That ought to be the center of any ministry pointing to Christ. Jesus modeled that for them in Matthew 4 and verse 23. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people." David Roper tells this story. "In one of my photo albums," he says, "there's a picture of a friend. And this friend is holding, probably more like hugging, a fish. And I ask myself, why is he sliming himself with that fish? And the answer comes back, well, it was the first fish he ever caught, and quite a good-sized fish at that." David Roper then adds, "I recall well my first fish. I'd been driving along thinking about the day before when I talked to a friend who was very good at leading people to Christ, and I asked him how he did it, how he knew that people were ready for the gospel, and he said, well, it's simple, I just ask. David says, well, I said to myself, I can do that. I can ask the next person I meet. And the next person he met turned out to be a hitchhiker. He picked him up, they chatted for a while, and then he said to this hitchhiker, do you have any interest in spiritual things? The hitchhiker looked at him for a moment and replied, I've been looking for God all my life. Can you tell me how to know him? And David Roper says, he was my first fish. Now, it's not always that easy. We know that. God really blessed him with his first attempt at witnessing. But we can remember the Spirit of God is drawing people to himself. And there's nothing more exciting than being a fisher of men, that seeing people come to the Savior. Sure, and we're all to follow Christ in being witnesses. We're to follow him in becoming like him in character. We're to follow him by being witnesses to the Lord Jesus. But Jesus' call to Peter and Andrew and to James and John was something different. This was a call to full-time ministry. When the United States launched its space program in 1958, 7 men were chosen to be astronauts in that space program. Imagine the excitement of Scott Carpenter, Gordon Cooper, John Glenn, and the 4 others. They were selected to go where no one had gone before. Yet as astronauts, they knew that they would face unforeseen dangers, challenges, and trials. Each of them realized that the thrill of being chosen was tempered very much by an unknown future. They were on a mission, and they knew it. Now that's getting a little bit closer to what Jesus intended for Peter and Andrew, James and John. It was going to be a full-time mission, something that they were giving their whole lives to. So, dear brother and sister, may I ask tonight, are you called? It's a call to the ministry of the Word of God. The place is secondary, but it's a call to the ministry of the Word of God. It's a call to disciple people, to make disciples. It can be risky, but God will enable and bless as we respond to his call. Are you willing to follow? Is God speaking to you in that specific kind of way tonight, where he's putting his hand on you for full-time ministry? Well, if so, launch out today. Go out into the highways, you heralds of the King. Give out the invitation and make your voices ring. The supper room is ready, but millions die in sin. Go out into the highways and compel them to come in. Press out into the harvest, you reapers of the field. The crops cry out for workers, but few will seek their yield. Say not, 4 months await us. Lift up your eyes today, the fields are white to harvest. Press out and work and pray. Launch out into the ocean, you fishers of the Lord. Prepare your nets for service, the captain is on board. Why cling on to the coastline? Why anchor in the bay? Launch out into the ocean and fish while it is day. Go out into the nations, you laborers of God, and preach the peerless gospel wherever man hath trod. Tell out the gracious tidings on every sea and land. Go out unto the nations. Obey the Lord's command. Are you called to full-time service? Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word tonight. And we all respond, Lord, we want to follow you. We want to be like you. We want to be witnesses for you. We want to follow you in these things. But Lord Jesus, I'm praying perhaps that you have spoken to someone tonight, someone you've impressed in a special way. The Holy Spirit has used the word and said that means you. I pray that you would use such a one in the days ahead. They would prepare. They would prepare for ministry of the word. They would get ready, and we as a church would recognize the call of God upon their lives. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would thrust out laborers into your harvest field. Thank you, Father, for our time together around the word. Now, as we move to the Lord's table, we pray that you would prepare our hearts to rejoice in what the Lord Jesus has done for us. We pray in his name. Amen.